Good morning. We're still in the month of spiritual freedom. I sound like the voice of God. Is it the echo? I loved it. I love it. So funny. So, you know, the hurricane season in this country on the East Coast runs from June 1st to November 30th. And 2004 was a banner year for hurricanes on the East Coast. There were more hurricanes that year than ever since 1964. You have to go back that far in order to find more of them. There were 15 named storms. Of those, there were 9 hurricanes. Of those, there were 6 major, Category 3 and above. And then there were the big 4. There was Charlie, Francis, Ivan, and Jean. It did more damage on the East Coast than we had ever seen before. Now, I bring this up because I have family that lives in Florida. I have a dad and my brother-in-law, my sister. I have a nephew and his family. And I remember them engaging in months and months of relentless preparation. Every single week or week, in and out, there were, put the hurricane shutters up, take the hurricane shutters down. Put the hurricane shutters up, take the hurricane shutters down. Pull in the plants that are out on the patio. Batten down the patio furniture. Prepare the generator. Get the non-perishables in the house. And this went on week after week after week. And then they would relax, and then it would come up again. Because there was another storm coming, and another, and another, and another. And so it was week in and week out. Out for all of those months, preparing and dismantling, and preparing and dismantling, and at some point, hurricane fatigue sets in. It just is. It is with our human nature. At some point, they stop caring because it's too much work. It is too much high level of intensity. It's too much cortisol, running through your system. It's too much that high alert. Over and over, and at some point they say, oh, I just can't do it anymore. Let the hurricane take everything, I don't care. Because that relentless level of high alert, of adrenaline, cannot be sustained. So we just sort of give into it at some point. And I bring this up because I am sick. At heart, I was really, really, really upset and hurt with Dallas and with Pulse in Orlando and all of that stuff, but now I'm getting pissed. I'm just angry now, and I'm so tired. It's like tragedy fatigue is setting in. I am so tired of opening every Sunday celebration for the past week after week after week with our thoughts and prayers go out to whoever, fill in the blank. Just like the East Coast people in 2004, I'm so fatigued by the relentless tragedy that keeps coming across our news feed. We just can't keep up with it. Baton Rouge this morning, three police officers shot and killed. France, Belgium before that, the Congo, the suicide bombers, the airports, the social gatherings. The unarmed African-American men being gunned down. The cops being shot on the street. And I'm not even going to mention it's an election year. And then on a personal note, we all have our personal tragedy stories, right? Our friends with their diagnosis. Our other friends who got laid off. Or who did we lose to transition this year? Our best friends or our spouses or our neighbors. And on it goes. On and on it goes. And what is our response? What do we do with that? What do we do with that relentless tragedy fatigue that is setting in? So Ernest Holmes said this in the Science of Mind textbook. He said, stay with the one and never deviate from it. Never leave it for a moment. Nothing can equal this attitude. To desert the truth in the hour of need is to prove we do not know truth. When things look the worst is the supreme moment to demonstrate to ourselves that there are no obstructions. When things look the worst is the best time to work, the most satisfying time. That's our call. That is our call when we're being inundated with this stuff, when we're being inundated. Our faith tradition, our philosophy reminds us all the time, that this is the most satisfying, the most rewarding, the most powerful time to stand in our truth and to do our work, to remain in the truth of we are one. We are one despite conditions, regardless of the conditions, regardless of what it looks like. This is the most important time to absolutely reaffirm the truth and to stand in that. There is no out there, out there. There is no enemy. There is no devil. There is no hell except the hell we put ourselves in when we forget who we are. Now, Ernest Holmes gave a talk. He used to have a radio show. Does anybody know? Ernest Holmes, who is the synthesizer, the founder of this philosophy of ours, this religious science, of Centers for Spiritual Living. He had a weekly radio show called this thing called Life, Sunday mornings for years. And on Sunday, May 28th, 1950, I love this, on his radio show, this thing called Life, his talk was the whole human family. And he said this. He said, everybody wishes to have a friend and be a friend, and everybody wants to be happy. Surely it is intended that we all live together in peace and prosperity, and there is a way through which this can be brought about. Let us then think of some of the things we must do to bring about peace on earth and goodwill toward all. First of all, we must do away with racial prejudice. For there is really only one race, which is the human race. And while we're all different, we all belong to this one human family. We must learn to respect each other, to know of the needs of the other person, and to realize at the base of every human life, there is a sincere desire to love and be loved. Now, if you want to talk about what our philosophy is, there it is. If someone asks you, well, what do you believe in religious science? You say, we love God, we love each other, we do good work. Real simple, one sentence. We love God, we love each other, we do good work. This was 1950. This is 1950. Ernest Holmes and many others of his contemporaries, they knew truth. They knew truth. There was only race, a human race. That's it. That's all there is. We are dividing ourselves up based on a made-up story somebody told us years and years ago. And all that is a false belief. It is a fear thought. It's as old as humanity itself. When those ancient tribes used to sit around the fire and tell each other stories while peering out into the darkness beyond the perimeter of the firelight and imagine all sorts of things out there in the darkness that were going to sneak in and grab us and drag us away and devour us. That's where those stories come from. We have got to get over that fear thought. We have got to get over the false belief in separation. We have got to know that we are one. We are one human family. Again, I'm going back to Ernest Holmes. He said, if you want to eliminate thoughts of limitation, you must recognize that they have to be eliminated only about yourself. And this is an aside. This is what this teaching teaches us all the time. We must start within. We must start with ourselves. Then it spreads out to all of humanity, but the thoughts must change within ourselves. He goes on to say, there's a universal principle that does the rest. We do our work. There is a universal principle that does the rest. You are in mind just like a point in a circle. You are constantly thinking into it and out of it. It is the principle of all life. If that were true, and there could not be a manifestation of a world as we see it, it would be absolutely impossible. If we were not all connected to each other and to life, we couldn't relate to each other. We would only be brains in our own heads. And there would be no reaching out to each other. We wouldn't even know or recognize each other in the world. We are interconnected. We are all one. And as much terror and horror and bad news as we hear, I am telling you right here, right now, there is more good happening in the world. We are in a culture right now of instant communication, instant information. We get everything just coming at us at 90 miles an hour. But because of the way the news cycles run, it's all bad news. It's all bad news, right? If it bleeds, it leads. Isn't that their theory? It's all bad news. But I am here to tell you, in the big picture, we are evolving toward more good, toward more love, toward more joy. You know, there is a website called the Good News Network. Anybody on it? Anybody read it? The Good News Network. Boy, it tells you good news all around the world. What is going on around the world, around the block? That's good news. That's uplifting. You never hear that on the 6 o'clock news. In Colombia, there's a company, I can't remember the name of it, but there's a company that's making plastic bricks out of their plastic waste out of the landfills. They're emptying the landfills, and they're using the plastic, and they're creating these plastic interlocking bricks like Legos. I love it for adults. And they're building houses with them. They're using the waste. They're emptying the landfills. They're building houses. A 40 square meter home, which I don't know what that converts to square foot, so look it up on the Oracle at Google. Anyway, it's two bedrooms, a bathroom, a kitchen, a living room, and a dining room. The total thing costs $5,200. And they're housing their homeless by converting waste into building blocks. What a fabulous thing that is. So that they can take their little shanties down and their little cardboard homes and move into these regular homes. In Portugal, here's one. In Portugal, Portugal covered all of its citizens and all of its industry's electrical demand using power generated by wind, solar, and hydro for an incredible 107 consecutive hours this past June. Oh my God, over 4 days of electricity generated purely by alternative sources. That's amazing. And they're on their way to becoming a fully sustainable country and doing that totally. The State Department on Thursday reported the number of terror-related attacks around the world has dropped by 13%. Dropped by 13%. But you wouldn't know it listening to the news. You wouldn't know that listening to the evening news. So that's our charge. That is our charge, to stand in the truth that we know humanity is evolving, that we know things are getting better. We have to stand in the truth regardless of conditions. Ernest Holmes said this in A New Design for Living. He said, the limitations we find encircling us have but one source. They spring from our thought. They are a result of negative habitual thought patterns, conscious or tucked away in the subconscious, which may have been instigated by our past experiences or the blind acceptance of what now appears to be wrong ideas and the concepts of others. Where do we get this stuff from? We get it from our family. We get it from our childhood. We get it from our neighborhood, our community. We get it from our culture. We get it from our nationality, whatever. But there's false thoughts and limiting thoughts. And what we need to do is we need to check in with ourselves and question them. Is that my thought? Is that my thought, or is that a thought somebody gave me? We know we're unbound. The truth of us, if you go within and you go in your meditation, you know, we all know, the truth of us is that we are spirit unbound. We are not subject to our past thoughts. We're not subject to our past beliefs. We're not bound by anything in the past. Ernest Holmes said, principle is not bound by precedent. That means the truth of us, the principle of us, who we are, is not bound by anything that came before it. Our philosophy says, change our thinking, change our lives. Our philosophy tells us change can happen, but it must first happen in our own minds. It must first happen in our own minds. We cannot, even if we wanted to, we cannot change the thoughts of another. We cannot change the mind of another. Anybody married? We know this. It just doesn't happen, no matter how much you elbow them, you know, when you go. doesn't happen. We change our thinking, we change our life. That's the way it goes. It starts from within. It starts within us. And then communities like this spring up because like-minded people come together and they support each other and they find each other. Like-minded individuals. And then we start doing the work together. You know, Ernest Holmes had said in one of his talks, I don't remember which one it was, might have been Sermon by the Sea, he said, we don't need everybody to think that they are totally unbounded and totally limitless. We need more than just 51%. We just need 51%, and we can transform the world. We just need to push it over into the majority. Then years ago, what's his name? Greg Braden. I don't remember which one of his books, but it was one of them, Spontaneous Healing, Nature of Prayer, or one of those, said, he said, he came up with an equation, and he said, it's not even 51%. It's the square root of 1% of the Earth's population, is that's all we need. And then if you do that math, I don't remember what that came out to, but it was like over, I don't know, a little over 800,000. So you think of 7.5 billion people, if all we need to do is talk about 800,000, that's huge. And that would change the world, and that would convert the world into peace. We change our thinking, we change our lives. We change in communities like this. We change our own thinking, and then who do you touch? All week long, you touch how many people? And how many people are changed because of what you said? Or intrigued by what you said? Or begin to question what you say? And what happens is, we begin to then be of service to the world, right? Because we're standing in our truth, we become a lighthouse. We don't run around trying to convert people. We don't do that. But we become a lighthouse, and we shine so brightly that people are attracted to us, and they want what we have, and they question what we do. And the more we receive, the more we give. And the more we give, the more we receive. And we engage in sacred service. And in these ways, we invite others to change their thinking and change their life. Service to others, I love this quote, service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. Don't you love that? Now, Muhammad Ali may have said that, but I researched it, and Marion Wright Edelman may have said it, and Eldon Tanner may have said it, and Shirley Chisholm may have said it, and Gandhi may have said it, and Joseph Murphy may have said it. So if anybody finds a really definitive answer to that question, I'd love to hear it, because I was never able in all of my research to find exactly if it was said first by anyone. Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. And like I said, it was said in some iteration by every one of those people, and probably more. I don't know who said it, but it's truth. And truth doesn't really care who said it first, you know? It's just truth. So this is it. We are free. We are free. We are unbound. We were born that way. We didn't do anything to get it. It's a quality of God. It's a quality of God. We are born this way, and no matter what happens to our bodies, it's still truth. No matter what happens to our bodies, it is still truth. Quality of God called freedom. We are free to act, and we are free to act bound. Doesn't that stink? Ernest Holmes in Love and Law said, the only thing which binds us is the thing that frees us. Bondage is freedom. Love and hate are one attitude. Fear and faith are of the same attitude. There is only one mind, there is only one truth, there is only one mental attitude, and there are only different ways of using it to become manifest. So you think of all of these qualities of God on a continuum, like we've been talking about this year. There is only love. You demonstrate the least amount possible, you call it hate. You demonstrate the most amount of love, it's unconditional love, right? It's love of humanity, love of all mankind. But it's only love. There's only one. So what do? In the face of events that look so much, that look so unlike love, unlike joy, unlike unity, what do we do? What do we do? And you know the answer. And that is, we dig in our heels. And we stand in the truth of who we are, regardless of the conditions. And we look anything unlike the qualities of God in the face, and we say, be off with you. Before someone drops a house on you. We stand in the truth of love in the face of hate. We respond to hate with love. We respond to bondage with freedom. We practice random acts of kindness. We stick with what we know is truth regardless of the conditions. And then we start operating like that in the world. You know, smiling at the grumpy cashier, it really messes with them. You have to do that. It just does. Bring some food. Bring an excess bag of dog food to the animal shelter or cat food. Drop off some clothes at a homeless shelter. Serve at a soup kitchen. Make something better in some way for someone. Be the light. Be the light. That's how we dispel darkness, because it doesn't matter how long we are in darkness. All we need is one person to light a candle in the cave and all the bats go crazy, don't they? We are here to create blessings for each other. We are here to create blessings. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "The purpose of life is to live it, to taste experience to the utmost, to reach out eagerly and without fear for newer and richer experiences." Forget about finding your one purpose in life. Start where we are, embracing all that we can be right now. Do the next thing that's in your path to do, the thing that's right in front of you. Ernest Holmes said, "Freedom means to eliminate from consciousness all those things which bind and limit the free flow of divine spirit through us, and at the same time to exercise the faculty of personal choice." So we're not here to do the same thing. We're here to do each individual thing our own way, whatever we're called to do, however you're called to make a difference, however you're called to make life a little better, a little easier. "We all wish to be free," he said, "and at the same time, we should realize liberty is not license. We're here to say we are free with the freedom of God does not mean we are free to do that which contradicts divine nature. We are free only in the freedom which God is, the freedom to be alive, to enjoy living, to enter the activities of everyday life with enthusiasm and interest. We are free to love and to be loved. We are free to give full and complete expression to every capacity we possess, provided the freedom harms no one and hurts no thing." Now there's a cautionary tale. Provided it harms no one and hurts no thing. That is the charge we are given. We are free to live fully and completely, totally unbound, hurting no one else in our path, no one else in our circle. It's very clear. So I want to end with that same Sunday talk from 1950 that I started. The amazing man, Ernest Holmes, was a mystic and a sage and a wise, incredible human being that created, that synthesized our philosophy based on everything that he read. And he said this, "So it is with the larger family of the human race. We in America have no trouble with Canada or Mexico. And yet, here are three commonwealths made up of many people who live side by side. We don't say to the people of Canada or Mexico, you must think as we do in Southern California, or as my ancestors in New England thought. We sometimes laugh at the way our ancestors thought. We feel we can do a better job than they. But we still remain Canadians and Mexicans and Americans. We are individuals wherever we go. The thing that makes for unity is that each group respects the individual difference of the other groups, while at the same time cooperating, which is not only possible but necessary if the world is to survive. I feel that we each have an individual part in this great scheme of things, and that the most valuable thing any one of us can do today is for each to be a little more certain that he is meeting life with a deeper understanding and sympathy and compassion for others and a greater love for all." Ernest Holmes, 1950. I didn't hear anything there about building a wall. We are one. We are one. We are one human family. And when we know it, and we really know it, and we live from that truth, we not only change our own minds, we change the world around us, consciousness by consciousness. This is not a race issue. There is only one race, the human race. This is a consciousness issue. This is a consciousness challenge. We are one. We are one. We are one. Thank you.